You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you for joining our conversation today, our continued conversation around separation. We have a special guest today. Oh, that makes me laugh. We have a special guest. You are special, Luke, with us today, Luke Gordon, who is joining our conversation. I honestly am really thankful, Luke, that you're taking time. The more I have read up and listened to how other people think and feel about separations, other professionals, and a lot of the counsel that I know some of my clients have received around separation, it's really, I'll just use the word interesting. And I think that with your knowledge and awareness of what the work you do with men, and then even your own experience, really going to add a lot to this conversation to help both partners who might be listening to this conceptualize what we're talking about here today. So today we're going to talk about how to get ready for a separation and what that looks like emotionally, mentally, physically. Where do you want to go with this? I was like, you're talking too much. So my brain shut down.
That was funny. Well, you get to feel that insecurity, Amy. Mine today. So my daughter, Luke and I are getting ready to release our podcast, and my daughter is going to edit those podcasts. And so she said, Mom, I don't know if I can do this because you use your fake voice. My fake voice? I'm like, I don't use a fake voice. I'm like, well, are you sure it's not my professional voice, like, or my teaching voice? And she's like, no, that's your fake voice. But so just, I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and I'm like, is that Amy's real voice? Or she using it? Do I use it? Okay. So I want to say on this podcast, you get real, but apparently you don't, because my daughter says I use my fake voice on the podcast. So
did you share with us a demonstration of your real voice so everybody knows?
I don't know. Maybe I have a mom voice.
I think that's what it is.
It's the mom voice. It's the mom maybe voice.
That's what it is. I don't know. That being said, today's episode on separation, we have a lot of different directions that we can go. And I think I talked about this in last week's episode. There is a podcast episode Sam Telemans did, where he talked about separation, and the big message he wanted to give to people is, do you know why you're getting separated? And sometimes we hear about separation and it's just like, oh, that's the next thing to do. So I need to get separated. Well, Luke and Alana got separated and they're doing good now. So I must need to get separated. And I first, just before we go in any further, I want to make it really clear. Separation is not just something we mark off of a list, and it's something we do just because, oh no, we had trauma, so I have to get separated. Separation, and going back, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, we talk about reasons why you might need a separation and some of the feelings that come up around it. But the place I want to start with today is the main reason we do separations is to create that emotional safety. So that's all of last week's episode in a nutshell. And sometimes the hardest piece to be able to start getting ready to do the separation is being able to own for ourselves that we need that, to be able to start owning for ourselves what our experience is.
Yeah.
Can I jump in here? Is this an appropriate time, Alana, to ask you why you did the separation? What made you do it?
In our case?
Yeah. Like, what made it right then for you? Why?
Oh, I think I talked about this last week, Amy. Maybe I didn't, but.
Oh, did you? Are?
Yeah, I did, but you wouldn't leave me alone. You were following me around. And you so bad wanted to fix things, but you were the trigger. So my trigger was following me around, and just being around you was so, so, so painful. And in my case, it was a very, very quick decision. But in a lot of cases with the women we work with, it's not a fast, quick decision. And there's all of these steps that go into being ready to even like voice that. Like, I remember being so terrified to voice that to you, Luke, that you can't stay here. But because I had so much anger and shock that drove me. If I wanted to do a separation 6 months later, I actually think that would have been a lot harder. And I think that's where a lot of women are. And Amy, I don't know, is that what you see with your clients too?
I think you're right. I do see that a lot. And also, I think what prolongs the decision-making is other people's advice, professionals' advice on separation. I know that a lot of professionals, a lot of therapists will have said, in fact, I was listening to one the other day who said, he's talking about separation and how he thinks it's horrible. And he goes, I literally cannot understand why any other professional will suggest this. And he theorized that it must be because they don't value marriage or the marriage unit. And it kind of like took my breath away. And I was like, wait, what? And after I let my defensive voice just kind of like speak out for a minute, I really thought about that statement. And I then very quickly had the thought that really felt true to me and why I do find value in separation is because I value individual worth. And if separating from someone who devalues you helps you come back to yourself, love yourself, value yourself again, when the marriage, the partner in the marriage is devaluing you and not supporting your individual worth, then I think separation is necessary.
That statement, I don't know if a therapist is, and don't tell me, but you saying that really to me just shows how unaware they really are and certainly have not lived firsthand to have that trauma and that attachment injury from the one person that you were looking to for that safety. And I even think, I'm guessing it was a male.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a male. And so there's this other gender piece, especially for a lot of our listeners, where there's this more of a patriarchal culture. And so there is a power differential that has to be looked at too. But it's funny that he says that because for me, I actually, if we're going to be doing a separation, in my mind, it's so we can give the relationship a fighting chance. Because if we have individuals or a individual who cannot heal because they are so traumatized, then forcing them to stay in that traumatized state longer is not going to benefit the marriage or the relationship. So I see it actually to benefit and protect the relationship, which is why I think doing a therapeutic separation is the way that we want to look at it. So if the end goal is to reunite, if certain things are met and safety is created, then we have this path that comes back together.
Mm-hmm. There's this piece of it that I want to mention. When separation happened for us, the person I ended up moving in with after not having a place to live for a little while, he had already gone through a divorce and he let me stay. He was a really, really kind man. And I remember one of the things that he said to me right away was, he's like, yeah, Luke, one of the best things you could have done is leave. Because I was one of the men that didn't go. I'm not going to leave. Like, if anybody's going to leave, you leave. You're the one that prompting this. And he's like, I wish I could take that back. Mm. He's like, I really, really wish I would have left. And I was in the middle of it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But it doesn't really hit you at that point. But now it really hits me that I was living in a space where I left. Now, I think I left because I didn't have a leg to stand on because of the crazy choices I made. And I've watched a few other men, a lot of other men in this journey that still feel that entitlement to stay in their own house. It's interesting because we've been recently having clients take a sexual addiction assessment. And one of the things that measures is entitlement. And that's around the addiction. And I just think of how much it comes into play in this situation, how much that power struggle is real and alive. And that's that humility piece that really is important.
Absolutely. Well, and I think, Alana, I don't know if we hit record when you said this or not, but to reiterate, I think the response of the one who betrayed and has the compulsive sexual behaviors, his response to your needing space and safety is information. Mm-hmm. And it's information that can come with a lot of pain because it's not how you would hope or expect them to respond.
Anytime we put separation on the table, it brings up a lot of fear for both partners. And that fear can be expressed in different ways. And so initially, if it's, I don't want to leave and I don't want to do this and we don't need this, and that's the initial reaction, or the initial reaction is defensiveness, that's one thing. But as they sit with it and process through it and then still refuse to leave, that is information. And one other like little mini story, but I remember Luke going and telling people at work that I had kicked him out. Mm-hmm. And I was so mad at that. And we weren't talking at the time because we were separated. And this was through email. But I said to him, I said, don't you dare put this on me. I didn't want this. I don't want you living somewhere else. I am here taking care of all of our kids. You left me when you made those choices. So me asking you to leave is me needing that safety, but this is yours. I'm not owning this. I did not kick you out.
And
you yourself kicked out with your choices.
Some of the context of that conversation, a lot of times I remember very, very clearly, is as I said, hey, when you let me come back, or if you let me come back. And you said, I want to be clear. You left us. We didn't make you leave. You left us. And I was like, oh, like, it's just one of those moments like, oh, that is so, that's, yeah, truth.
I'm curious, Luke, in that, just in that situation right there, what do you notice often with men? See, I want to ask this. Because I'm hearing your response, right, to that was like, oh, ouch, that was truth. Just, you know, smacked me in the face. And then what do you do with that? And what do you see other men do with that?
When their wife gives them information that they recognize truth
bomb. Yeah.
I don't know, because that was right in the middle of the, that was right in the beginning, and I was talking in one of the groups I ran last night around shame, you know, around, you know, because I'm sure my response at some level is, yeah, she's right. And Luke, you're such a DB, like, just want to, you should have just shut up and not talked. Like, you should just not talk anymore because you don't have a leg to stand on, obviously. Probably some pity party that really resulted as the outcome of shame, my choices. But then I started to realize, like, oh, that feeling's not useful, and I need to actually be able to hear what Alana's saying, not just, hey, you left us, but look at reality in the moment. So what I watch is that's what men's journeys, they process shame, they become somewhat shame resilient, and then they're able to communicate with their spouse and hear what they're actually saying. And that's just, that's an evolution through the journey, you know, and that's what really scares me about the men that, help me out with this, ladies. You have the versions of me that just literally don't have a leg to stand on. I mean, it's just horrendous. The chaos they left behind. And then you have some men where maybe they compare themselves to somebody else to justify that it wasn't that bad. And there's not a level of humility. And it's so dangerous, that lack of humility. It's so dangerous. So, and the lack of humility just stems from the shame.
And pride. Yeah. Yeah. As I look at those men who in their own eyes aren't as bad as other guys, they actually, I see some of their wives having the longest lasting pain because they don't get to that place of humility and they don't create that safety. And so being able to create the safety for yourself, for those of you who have been betrayed, whether or not your partner can create any level of safety, we have to learn how to create that safety within ourselves and in our environment. So sometimes that will mean that we need a separation. So if he's not willing to separate, if he's not willing to leave, then what are you going to do to create your own safety?
And here's the other piece is that for the men who are scared to death of the separation being the end of the relationship, I just want there to be an invite on that's not the case. You're living in an environment that you created that is pretty brutal. And you're having troubles engaging with your wife and holding space for her from your own stuff. So giving her that space and you getting that space too, I'm like, it's a really big deal. And it's not an end thing. It's an evolution of healing.
And really trust building too. I feel like when you get that space, the tension might decrease. And I've noticed sometimes too, when the tension decreases, it's almost, I can't say I've seen this all the time, but one particular example is coming to my mind where the tensions decreased and it almost gave the one who betrayed permission then to keep acting out, because the tension from her that he felt, right, the attacks or the pressure or the expectations to be healthy and do his work wasn't there anymore. And so they were separated and he then actually acted out more. The destructive behaviors increased. How often have you seen that happen?
I think it varies so greatly. And I think that's one of the fears too, a separation is what if he acts out more? And the truth is some act out more and some act out less. And either way, that is their work to figure out, right? We can't own that. We can't protect them from that. And loneliness is a big reason to act out. But sometimes when we're left with ourselves, then we're left to look at what's really there and what's coming up. And that was one thing, just speaking about Luke, he was so terrified. And I don't know if terrified is the right word, uncomfortable, so uncomfortable to be alone, but learning how to be alone and with himself and look at himself and like himself, that was a pretty essential piece of healing for him.
Yeah. Well, I think for both, because I've seen that with the women too. They're afraid to separate, even though internally or their wise self knows that that's what they need, but they also have that fear of being alone and doing it all alone that keeps them, you know, in it as well. But I asked that question and you're alluding to where I'm getting at. I think this is why it's so important if you're going to navigate a separation to get support and make sure that each person is committed to working with their individual person along the way. Because like we mentioned before, if we're like, what's the why here? If the why is to just decrease the tension and then do whatever the hell we want, it's not going to help the relationship. So really it's having, and we're going to go over this next episode, having very clearly in place the goals while you're separated, but getting that support so that you do the individual work is just key.
And one of the things that Alana made it to at the end was letting go of the outcome. Just like, hey, I can't do it. Whatever I'm doing, it's not working. So I'm just going to, if he's going to go act out, he's going to go act out. He's either going to get better or he's not, but I can't do this anymore. And watching her do that was a big deal. Her letting go of that and just leaving me to myself and my own resources.
And I just want to note on that letting go, I still had hope for the relationship. I had hope that you would figure it out, but also surrendering you to do your own work and to do what you're going to do. I remember thinking to myself, the sink or swim. He's going to sink or swim. But as long as I keep throwing you little floaties or holding you up while I'm drowning, we're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So, okay, finding the right support is really important. I think another thing as you're thinking through doing a separation that gets really scary is how is the other person going to respond? Are they going to get angry at me? Are they going to want a divorce? Is this like, if I say I want a separation, are they just going to say, whatever, I'm done? There's so many fears that come up around how they will respond that I think can keep us paralyzed too.
Yeah, I think too, how, I know I've said this like twice already, but I think again, going back to knowing why you're even suggesting this is important, because I've seen too where women will say, I guess we need a separation because maybe this will be the 2x4 effect over his head. Maybe this will get him to do ABC. And that's not a healthy reason why. So if you're approaching them with that intention, it's going to come across that way. They're going to know it and they're going to be defensive and react. So sometimes I'll have, you know, when this gets brought up in sessions, I'll give the agreement to my client and say, we're not going to do anything with this. We're not going to talk about this just in these sessions. I just want you to look over it and for yourself, get curious with these questions and really be clear why you're doing this and for what reason. And I think that alone helps in the approach when and if they are ready to suggest this to their partner, they're more clear about those reasons why. And it might, I'm not going to say 100%, it might reduce that response of fine and just get divorced. So
I think not only that the spouse's response, that's a big fear too. And we didn't put this in our notes, but I think it's the kids. Such a huge piece of what are my kids going to think? I'm like, literally the thought that would go through my head is, am I ruining my kids? And so that was a big fear of what do we say to the kids? What don't we say to the kids? If he leaves now, they'll like know, even though kids are barometers and they were already feeling stuff, there was no hiding it at that point. And so I think that is another big piece that can take a while to just sort through where you sit.
And I've seen a lot of people make some really, I'm reminded of a situation where this couple tried to hide that he was separated out of the house. You know, like, hey,
a long time too.
He's gone on work trips or he's got something to do. Remember the damage caused, and it's not black or white. So I was the opposite of that. There was no hiding. And in fact, I remember it's so painful to think about. But I remember the night that we separated, we caught up as a family, and then I took each child into the room and told them I was going to be leaving. But the way I did it, put some of it on them as in like, you know, I put too much of a weight of the emotions on them and I didn't do a good job. So I think it's interesting how you can be on each side, you can completely hide it or you can completely put the emotions on them. And it's just, you know, it's brutal. There is a balance there. And the balance, if you're asking where's the balance, I think it is depends on the child and their level of being able to understand what's going on and then being able to ask questions and being open about what's happening, depending on what level they can be at.
Everything you just said, and I just want to remind our listeners or tell you for the first time, you're newer, that Amy and I did some episodes a while back on talking to your kids. And so you can go back if you need some extra resources just around this, because I know I think it was another one of the mini series where we did 3 or 4 episodes around kids. But I agree, Luke, everything you just said, age appropriate, it depends on the individual child doing it separately with them. And even thinking about separation when it comes to our kids can feel really, really scary. I think this actually leads into a really good point because we brought up all these different fears. And one thing Amy and I were talking about was it's okay and even good to take this in baby steps. Because I think what we do is we go and see this huge separation and it looks like this big daunting, I have to get separated for a year and I have to have this worked out and I have to know where he's going to live and where I'm going to live and how much we're going to pay for rent. And I need to know what I'm going to say to kids and we have to have it all figured out. And then once everything's figured out, okay, now I can take a step forward. And at least that's how my brain works. Maybe yours doesn't, but I think breaking it down could be really beneficial here.
Totally beneficial. Again, that's why I think just even looking at an example of what a therapeutic separation, those questions look like, and letting yourself just sit with the emotions of just a question, right? Like the why or what are your goals? And what do you need in order to even consider reconciliation? Just sitting with those questions and feeling the emotions come up is really, really good baby steps before you just dive right into this. So,
well, and I can't tell you how many women in my groups the first time when they're really triggered, they just allow themselves to sleep somewhere else, or they ask their husband to sleep somewhere else. How scary that is. And then how empowering that is, that they were able to rest and to sleep and to honor what their body needed. And so right there, that can be a beautiful baby step, as when you need space and your body is freaking out or having a massive trauma response, just allowing it what it needs in that moment.
Yeah.
And my brain is like, okay, if a therapist is listening to this who doesn't agree with separation, they're going to push back and they're going to say, okay, but if she's always or he's always going, and anytime they're triggered, they're just separating, the relationship is not going to heal. Yes, if that was a pattern forever. But what I am suggesting is right now, while we're working on honoring what your body needs and working on creating that safety within yourself, this doesn't have to be a forever thing, but honoring that, I think, is really an important step to healing.
Well, for sure. When you think about the levels of intimacy and connection in a relationship anyways, it's impossible to have a healthy, intimate connection when you're not connected with yourself. And in these situations, and I think a lot of the times, honestly, the books or podcasts or whatever that we do here around with therapists talking about separation, they aren't talking about the scenario of sexual addiction, compulsive behaviors, abusive behaviors. Your system has been hijacked. You're so emotionally dysregulated, both of you, but the betrayed partner, and is literally living in fight, flight, or freeze. There is no parasympathetic state being accessed at all. You can't connect because you're not connected with yourself. And that's what I was saying before, earlier, like when I heard this other therapist talk, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's the individual healing and connecting that is critical here. And that's why I think if there's that much dysregulation happening, where maybe a client is doing all of the tools, they're trying to lean in, maybe they've even had a full disclosure, and I see her system just still going around and around in these trauma responses. To me, I'm like, there's something in her environment that's not allowing her system to regulate. We got to handle that.
I feel like everything you just said there, Amy, the last like 3 minutes, I'm like, ooh, that probably is going to be our little, what do they call when we put it on social media? Reel? Yes. This is how much I'm not on social media. You are reel. But no, what you said, I think, just sums it up so perfectly, and allowing room for that regulation to happen and allowing room for our bodies to feel safe. Yeah. And I wish the partners, the people who have hurt their spouse, I wish they could understand this. I wish they could set aside their stuff enough to just see what their partner needs to heal and be willing to give that. And there's a lot of their own stuff, all of our own stuff, right? That they would have to set aside.
Look, I'd love to hear what you would say, and you do say to men, like Alana just said, I wish they could understand this. What would you tell them to help them understand?
Just a humility factor, just to recognize that, how did you get here? It was your mess, that it was your faulty thinking that got you in the situation to begin with. So your wife's asking for something, and give it to her. Like, give it to her. Let go of it. Let go of your way of trying to navigate things and make sure things are work. It hasn't worked out so far. Mm-hmm. So let it go. And some version of that, Amy. And I think there's one part that almost belongs in the right place, which is for the spouses out there, for the betrayed. He's a grown man. Like, he is a grown ass man. Can I say that on here?
Yeah.
Let him figure it out. You don't have to take care of him in this process. Not all women do this, but some of them do. Like, where's he going to live? Like, you know, do we have enough money for it? Like, you know, there's a period of time that I was homeless in this experience. It wasn't very long, but I didn't know where to go. I mean, it was a Monday night. I put all my stuff in my car and I'm like driving away, you know, like, I don't know where I'm going. I legit do not know where I'm driving to in my Honda Accord. And I was just like, you know, I'm a grown up. I can figure it out.
I know that we talked about a lot of different fears that come up or a lot of different scenarios. And I know that there's thousands more. And so you might be sitting here thinking, you didn't say what I said. Like, why didn't you give me? And the truth is, we could talk all day and we might not get your exact situation. But I want to remind you that you are the expert in your own life. You have lived your life. You've experienced everything. And you do have within you that knowing and that knowledge of what you need and what your next right steps are. And sometimes there's a lot of fears and a lot of things that come up that block it. But as you practice listening, as you practice going inside, as you practice just tuning into yourself, more and more you will know. And look for those baby steps that you can take on a daily basis that help you just honor what you need and get more in tune with yourself. And again, I highly suggest working with professionals who can help you guide this process if you need that extra support. So next week, we're going to go more into going over a separation agreement. What are some of the things on there? What are some of those questions? What are some of the things that you would think about and that you might need during this time? And then the next episode after that, Luke is coming back and we're going to talk about reintegration after a separation. So Luke, thank you for hanging out with us today. Always appreciate that. And for you as listeners, thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you for being with us. And really, really quick, don't forget Amy and I and our other coaches have new betrayal trauma groups. And Luke has his men's compulsive behavior group of gaining self-mastery over those. And then we also have men who are doing some higher level work of working on their emotions. So check out our groups. We always are having openings in those. So thank you for joining us. We will see you next week.
In case you haven't heard, I created another resource for those of you who are moving towards divorce, and it's called the Empowered Divorce Podcast. If you are not totally sure about divorce, I have a couple Should I Stay or Should I Go episodes that will help you, as well as a free monthly coaching session specifically for those who are in that stuck place around staying or going to help you gain that clarity. The link to both of those are in the show notes, but you can also find that on chooserecoveryservices.com, along with other amazing offers from our coaches to meet you where you're at on this journey of choosing recovery, choosing to heal, and choosing you. Take care, everybody.